Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. Well, the sun is back, one day of clouds, and we are right back to the sunshine. Hey, on today's program, 40 million Americans suffer from this disorder, but only 4 million know they have it. And this week, two studies finding that it's directly linked to cancer. You'll want to stick around to find out more. And are state laws regarding malpractice suits too lax on irresponsible doctors, or do they allow for frivolous lawsuits? Two different, very different viewpoints at the Capitol, and we'll figure out exactly who is right. But first, it happened again today, another raucous public reaction during the State House Redistricting and Elections Committee meeting, with screaming and shouting going on during the voting today. So are those opposed to the package of bills that proponents say enhance the accuracy of qualified voter files going too far? To talk about it, I'm joined by Pat Selby, the election counsel with Project Vote Michigan. Pat, thank you so much for joining us here on 1320 WILS.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to talk about the issues.
Now, you were at the meeting yourself today. At one point, the State House sergeants stood between protesters and lawmakers. Can you describe the scene for us?
I was on the edge of the crowd and did not, and it was a large crowd, so I didn't see that exact interaction, but heard a lot of people talking about having their vote respected.
I see. Now, the screaming and shouting, was there any point to that? Some might view that as almost an intimidation of the lawmakers.
Again, I did not observe that kind of behavior. There's a lot of, as I said, a lot of chanting. The chant was respect our vote. And you're right, there were some individuals addressing the committee members, but there was always the podium and table between them as far as what I observed.
Now, proponents say that there are some new restrictions and some new guidelines, but they really are meant to make sure that whoever is voting is actually that person. How is this action that's being taken in these bills that are now moving through the committee disrespecting the vote of the people?
Well, we just believe these new measures are unnecessary, and that, in fact, they're a barrier or hurdle to people's ability to vote. There's all sorts of measures now, criminal provisions and practices in election law that do require people to identify themselves, to sign an application when they vote that they are who they say they are. And so the measures are really unnecessary, and we just believe they're an additional barrier being put in place.
Well, the bills include steps requiring people to have ID with them when they register to vote. I need to correct myself. They require people to show up in person to register to vote and then show ID if they want to cast an absentee ballot. If you have to show ID when you show up in person to vote, why shouldn't you do that when you're registering also?
Well, Michigan actually permits voters to skip the ID requirement and, again, sign an affidavit swearing that I am who I say I am when I vote. And so this kind of takes that opportunity away. The problem with the ID laws is that it really hits a number of communities who have valid current government-issue photo ID at a lower rate than, say, your average voter, especially your average white voter. The African-American community, senior citizens, low-income voters, these folks very often lack a driver's license or a state ID. And so the result is that those communities, voting is made much more difficult for them than it needs to be.
I see, but doesn't that leave room for shenanigans if you're not able to have a physical photo ID confirmation of someone's identity?
Well, but what are you confirming? When somebody comes in and puts their signature on their application to vote, whether it's their absentee ballot application or the form you fill out if you get the application in person, the election workers have your signature to compare it to, because you signed a voter registration when you first registered to vote, And that signature is either on a MasterCard or it is scanned into the electronic system. They have something to compare it to. With an ID, they have nothing to compare it to.
I'm talking to Pat Selby. She is the election counsel with Project Vote Michigan. Although, Pat, when you look at the voting rates now, I mean, we see so few voters coming out with the current structure. I mean, isn't the problem really not an issue of these kinds of photo ID regulations?
Well, what we're saying is that this is going to make that participation issue worse, and we'd rather the legislators were working instead on measures to increase electoral participation by citizens that have been proven in other states. Things like early voting or no reason absentee voting, which we've heard that the Secretary of State herself supports, but the legislature hasn't offered. There's other measures that could be increasing participation, and that's where we'd like to see them concentrate their efforts. But instead, it seems to be making it harder to register and making it harder to vote, and that just makes the participation problem greater.
So what is the underlying agenda in your mind in trying to suppress the vote in this way?
Well, make the point, as I said, that the communities who are most affected by this are people of color and low income and senior citizens. So it does seem to be directed toward certain communities. Voter registration is another example. They're making running voter registration drives more difficult. But and it's nationally, the numbers are that African Americans register to vote through voter registration drives at a rate about 2-1 over white voters. So yeah, it does seem there's an agenda of making it harder for certain people to vote.
Proponents would say, look, if you want to vote, get a state ID. Take the time to have an ID that's valid, that's a photo ID, and that might be beneficial not only for voting, but in general.
But if folks already have been living their lives without the need for the state ID, it's an additional expense for them. It's a time demand. The reason I say it's an expense is it's not just getting the ID itself, but often underlying documents like birth certificates and that kind of thing might not be available to someone. So it's more of a burden than people, I think, realize that it is. Secretary of State's hours are limited. My local Secretary of State isn't on a bus line. So it can be a hardship for some people to go out and get that ID.
Now, there was obviously a lot of passion in this meeting today and a lot of anger. Do you think it's really reflected, though, in the general public? Do you think most state residents really care that much about this issue?
I wish they cared more, because voting is a fundamental right. It is, a right that underlies all our others, us being able to preserve all our rights. So I wish there was more passion out there. I'm trying to work on it.
You see, although I can't help but go back to the point that the reality is that people don't vote anyway. I mean, we see such low numbers. Some of these ballot votes that come up November, we see maybe, half the population or so voting. But in some of the local votes, you might see 10-15% come out, which makes you wonder if the focus when it comes to voting should be on something other than these kinds of regulations.
Well, that's why I said I think there are measures that could improve those rates and could help people feel more engaged. Another measure that I didn't mention is there are states that do election day registration. And again, they have participation rates much higher. There's a case to be made that voting should be made convenient and accessible, and I think you would have a more engaged populace and a more engaged voting populace.
You know, you say this is targeted towards the poor, towards minorities. Do you have any guess as to the impact these new regulations will have in reducing the number of minorities that do vote?
I can't project that. I can tell you that there have been news articles in the last couple of weeks demonstrating that nationally there have been reductions in the African-American and Latino populations, both reductions in voter registration rates. And state of Florida implemented a law last year, a similar law to the one they're trying to advance here in Michigan, that puts a number of regulations on voter registration drives. And as of the end of March, something like 80,000, more than 80,000 fewer new voters had been registered as against a previous comparable voting cycle. So there has been an impact on voter registration drives, these kind of bills.
I mean, is there likely to be any kind of court case over this? Is there any kind of legal issue involved here?
I really can't say specifically, but I think we are looking into all the options to preserve people's right to vote.
Pat Selby, Election Counsel with Project Vote Michigan. We'll certainly see this move ahead. Now, it's going to go to the full House next. Likely going to pass there, too, I'm guessing, Pat.
That's our guess, too. It's a disappointment because, as I said, we're looking to see these fundamental rights preserved. We think democracy works best when every American participates, and we want to see that participation.
Well, thank you for joining us this evening, Pat.
Thank you for your time. Have a good evening.
When we come back, we're going to talk about malpractice lawsuits. Two very different views, one in the Senate that says it's much too easy to file a frivolous malpractice suit. The House, at least Democrats in the House, see it very differently. We'll discuss that next. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.